Hi, good morning. Good to see each of you this morning, and I just want to say how thankful I am and really how pumped I am that all of you are here today, our guests. This is your first Sunday, but also those that are regular attendees here at River City, because this morning we're starting this very, very new and important series, okay? You guys are here for the beginning of something that I believe is so practical, so real, so relevant, so important to each and every one of us, right where we're at today, right in the course of where you're at in your life. And so I'm just glad you guys are here to be a part of this morning. Now, here's how I want to start today. I want to begin by just finding out how many of you in the house have ever watched one of, or maybe all of, a series of films that has Matt Damon as the primary actor. And the character in which he plays is Jason Bourne. These films are Bourne Identity, Bourne Ultimatum, Bourne Supremacy. Any of you seen any of these movies? Let me see. All right, good. So we have some Bourne fans. That's awesome. Well, for me personally, I love the Jason Bourne movies. I'm one of those guys that does not like watching movies repeatedly over and over and over again. Typically, when I see it once, I'm done with it. I don't really care to see it again. But these movies, I can watch them over and over and over again. I love the writing. I love the acting. I just love it all. But the first one, it's interesting, was released, Bourne Identity, back in 2002. Some of you probably remember this. And that was quite a while back. I'd forgotten how old this movie is. And my wife, the other night when we were watching it again, said, no wonder that he looks like he had just hatched, right? Because he looks a lot younger there, a little bit thinner and better shape. But this movie released back in 2002. In this first movie, Jason Bourne is communicated or delivered, if you will, through this film to us as a character in the movie that was an undercover agent for the United States government. And this guy was highly trained, he was highly skilled, he was highly educated, he was highly resourced. In essence, in short, you could say he was a pure, unadulterated stud, okay? And all the guys in the house, you know you want to be like Jason Bourne. This is just a reality of it. But Jason Bourne was just something else. And so what would happen is the government would send him on these missions, and the missions they would send him on typically had an assassination tied to it, where he would go out and he would assassinate someone, and then he would move on to the next thing. Well, this first film opens with Jason being sent to the Mediterranean Sea with a clear goal for him to, in stealth mode, approach a yacht, climb aboard that yacht, track down another character on that yacht, assassinate him, and then leave without anyone knowing. Well, I'm not going to ruin it for you, but basically, that didn't go down as planned. And Jason Bourne ended up getting shot twice in the back, fell in the Mediterranean Sea, was floating. A group of fishermen passed by, saw him, thought he was dead, scooped him up out of the sea, brought him on the boat, found out he was alive, ushered him down into the deck. The cook slash doctor took knives, started extracting bullets. Jason wakes up, he's freaking out, doesn't know what's going on, blacks out. And from this point forward, for about 2 weeks, which in the film is only a few minutes, Jason Bourne recovers and he has amnesia. He can't remember what in the world is going on. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know where he had come from. He didn't know how he got there. He didn't know if he had any family. He had nothing. In essence, Jason Bourne was having an identity crisis. He had no clue who he was. Throughout these few minutes of this two-week period as him acting as a fisherman on the boat, Jason had conversations with these other fishermen. And here was the primary question he would ask them. Who am I? What is my name? In one case, you could tell he's a little frustrated. And he said, if you know who I am, please tell me. Jason was desperate. He was desperate to find clues, to find information, for him to anchor his identity in, for him to know who he is. And the rest of the film, and I won't spoil it for all of you, those of you that haven't seen it, but the rest of the film, he is following clues and following information, trying to find out who he is. Now, the reason why I bring this up, and the reason why now I have some of you wanting to watch the movie again or maybe see it for the first time, is really because that what Jason experiences, an identity crisis, is something that's taking place around all of us and in probably all of us right now. That where we go to school, if you're a student, where you go to work, your neighborhood, your home, the church, just all around us, people today are struggling with identity crisis all around us, and even in this room. You see, we've seen this in each of our lives. We've seen it from afar on TV when people that are captured in the media and the paparazzi that have an identity crisis. We can think of examples of that. We've seen this with friends or family members that have been through what we call a midlife crisis. We have seen this in our own lives with other types of crisis that we encounter. But some of the ones I thought of are those that we see with stars. And these are people, it can be senators, it can be congressmen, it can be just Hollywood stars and others that have all the fame that they could ever imagine and want. All the fans, all the money, all the options, all the resources you could ever want and dream of. And then we see that one day, seemingly, and it really wasn't one day, it began, it was a process, that it started to unravel. And these stars or these individuals just do really, really goofy things. Some of the ones that popped into my mind were some of these beautiful girls that are out there. And I'm not going to say their names. I'm not trying to pick at them. But you guys will know who I'm talking about. Who just one day walks into a hair salon and has all their hair shaved off. And we're looking at them going, what in the world is going on with you? And as we all watch these individuals, sadly, through the media, what we figure out is that really at the end of the day, they're having an identity crisis. There's something going on inside of them into the depths of who they are in their soul that's just not right. And they're trying to find themselves. And we see this all the time. We see this with others that we think have great marriages and you know, stardom. And then after years and years and years, the next thing we know, one of them just goes off to another country and leaves their spouse. And, I mean, just crazy stuff. And when this occurs, what we say is wow, that is sad. It's damaging. And really, they're trying to seemingly find themselves. We've seen this in midlife crisis with individuals, guys and girls, that get to a point in their life, a season in life, and they just one day, seemingly, it appears, they just start looking at their life and they're going, I don't like my life. I don't like who I'm with. I don't like what I do. I don't like what I have. And what do? They start trying to find themselves or reinvent themselves or recreate themselves, and they go out and they leave people. They sever relationships. They buy a bunch of stuff. They go to these extremes, and because they're having what we call a midlife crisis, but truthfully, at the core of it, they're having an identity crisis. There's something inside of them that's just going on that they're trying to find themselves. In 2009, I remember this one, and this is just another expression of an identity crisis. I was reading the news, and an article was online, and this was right when the global recession started kind of moving all throughout our planet, and a lot of different countries were being affected through it. And there was a German billionaire that was in his mid-70s, 76, I believe. He was worth $40 billion, okay? $40 billion. And as people started losing money, this guy was losing money as well. And they said that he was losing money, not to the point of being broke, but losing sizable amounts of cash, and his business was struggling. He had inherited a pharmaceutical company, and he was struggling to the point to where one night he was so overwhelmed, so defeated, he went, threw himself in front of a train and committed suicide. This guy was a billionaire, guys. Why did he do it? His family said, when they wrote just a statement, that basically he had anchored his identity into his wealth and into his success in business. And when it tanked, he tanked. He was done. He killed himself. You know, some of you in the room have possibly been through an identity crisis, or some of you here today are going through an identity crisis. That there are certain areas in your life that you have anchored your life to. That as things have started to become fragile, as things have started to become a problem for you or get a little unsettling for you, that you have started questioning and looking at your life and saying, who am I? And you're trying to figure that out. And here's the question I have for all of us this morning. What brings us to this point? What decision, what trigger, what series of decisions, or what process brings us to this point? To where all of a sudden it seems like people start having an identity crisis. Well, let me share with you what I think part of the answer is. I think there's probably a much larger issue, but this, what we're going to talk about today, I think is central and core. Is that all of us are born into this world with a soul. A lot of people say that we are a body with a soul. The reality is, as C.S. Lewis says, no, you are a soul with a body. So you are, in the fabric of your being, a soul. And when you are born into this world as just people, human beings, you have these hardwired needs and desires inside your soul, in the fabric of who, what makes you, you. And all of humanity shares in these same needs. The needs that we have to be loved unconditionally. Every one of you in here, no matter how much of a man's man you are, no matter what you've been through in life as a guy or a girl, every one of you in here have a deep desire to be loved unconditionally. Every one of us in here desires some level of security or stability, to where the ground under our feet feels like it's not shifting and shaking all the time. You want some sense of stability of security. All of us in here want for our life to be significant, for it to be with purpose. No one in here wants to just live a meaningless life. We have a desire for our lives to count. All of us in here want to be unconditionally received or accepted. There's just these desires, these needs that are in our lives. And God created us that way. And from childhood on, what we do is we begin this process of searching for options in our lives. People, things, groups that we can anchor our lives into that we believe that will meet ultimately these needs, that will help us feel loved unconditionally to meet that need, for help us to feel secure, to help us to feel stable and like we have a purpose and we have a life that counts. We all start searching, and it's even little kids, and I have five of them, and I'm seeing this even right now, that even little kids, they start wanting to identify themselves as either a good kid or a bad kid, right? I mean, you've seen this. Unfortunately, some kids really want to excel at being a bad kid. I don't know if I have one of those yet, but I'm starting to wonder. But they want to be a good kid or a bad kid. And then they start looking at wanting to anchor their identity in that, being known as that. And so how do you be a good kid? Well, you make good grades. You help your parents. It's behavior. And so you get all that attaboy, attagirl stuff. You're a good kid. You're a good kid. Bad kids that want to excel at being a bad kid, they're really not a bad kid. But that's where they want to identify themselves. They try to excel at being a bad kid. And as we age and as we continue through this, we pick other options. Excelling at sports. Excelling in the arts. And we attach our identity there. As we age and we continue to even change chemically to where hormones start raging, things of that nature, we start wanting to anchor our identity in relationships and we start wanting to date. We start looking for someone to marry. We start looking at our careers and anchoring our identity there and being successful there and feeling like we're secure and that our life matters. We start wanting to anchor it in marriage. We want to anchor it in family. We want to anchor it in our health. We want to anchor it in our looks. We want to anchor it in stuff. Do y'all follow me? This is the process. This is what happens. The need drives us to search, to anchor ourselves, and then here's the issue. The issue is when things are going really well for you, and here's what I believe. A lot of you in here, probably all of us in here, you guys are pretty smart. You do really well at what you do. So that's a problem sometimes because what happens is that when you're anchored in these things and you're successful at them, you're kind of like at the top of a roller coaster and you feel like, hey, my identity is safe and secure. Because I'm killing it at work. I've got plenty of money in the bank, plenty of in retirement. My relationships are great, on and on and on. I look at me, I look great. My health's great. You follow me? Until one day, those things you've anchored your identity in is threatened. They become a little shaky. Or they leave you. A person leaves you that you've anchored your identity in. Your health leaves you that you've anchored your identity in. Your job fires you or lays you off. You anchored your identity there. Your money starts depleting for whatever reason, a recession, some type of financial issue. As these things happen, here's what happened. You're at the top of the roller coaster, you end up in a nosedive. And as those things you've anchored your identity to drop, you drop with it. Can any of you identify with this? You ever seen this? This is the point of an identity crisis. This is when you're in a free-for-all. This is when you don't really know who you are. This is when the things that you have looked to fulfill the greatest needs in your life that God has hardwired you with, you start searching and frantically panicking, some of us, for answers to try to fill them with another person, with another opportunity, with more money, with more of this. And that is the process. Sadly, most of us hit repeat and we keep going through this same cycle. I was thinking about what this looks like. And I've never had this animal as a pet, but, you know, like some type of little gerbil or one of those animals that you have, and maybe even mice and rats do this. But have you ever seen those wheels they put in their cages for them to get a little exercise? I mean, those little dudes, they'll get on that thing, and they're running like a million miles per hour, right? I mean, you see smoke flying out from under those things. They're just rolling. But you know, the truth is that they're going nowhere fast. They're getting tired. They're getting worn out. But they're going nowhere fast. And when we are living a roller coaster life where we're trying to anchor our identity in these things or in these people or in what we have or what we do or what we own or who we know, when we do that, we look like that. And we're pressing repeat, 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 repeat. Now let me just share with you this morning why I'm concerned. I'm concerned, first and foremost, because I believe some of you in this room are actually in an identity crisis right now. You're in the free fall. You know it, things are very unsettling for you, unstable for you. You want to be loved unconditionally. You want to be accepted unconditionally. You want security. You want significance. You're looking for all that, and that is normal. That is God-given, and that is fine. But as you're in this free fall right now, you're looking, you're grasping, you're trying to find someone or something to anchor your identity in. And I want to help you this morning to where you don't continue the cycle of repeating what you've been doing, just as I have as well. Here's my other concern. Some of you this morning, you're set up for an identity crisis and you don't even know it. And the reason why is because you're really doing well in some areas right now where your identity is anchored to, and you feel very stable, very secure. You feel like things are great. Your career's moving in the right direction. Money in the bank. Your marriage is fine. Your kids are fine. Your health is fine. You look good. You know, all that stuff. But you're anchoring your identity in the wrong thing. Now, here's what I want to do this morning. My goal is to help you, all of us this morning, leave having your identity anchored in the correct place. And before we get into what we're going to look at in the text, here's a little teaser I want to throw at you. Just a test, just to get you, if you haven't jumped on board with me on the ship yet and where we're going to sail to, I want to see if I can help you do that just through this test. The way that you can identify whether or not you are set up for an identity crisis is this. I want for you to think about, and you can almost think of this like a ledger. On one side of the piece of paper, I want for you to think of all the things that emotionally stir your soul. Things that you would possibly push back on, but things that you know at some level or another that you have anchored your identity in. This could be your health. This could be your looks. This could be your money. This could be your career. This could be your marriage. This could be your kids. You follow me? Go through all those. And on the right side to each one of those different categories, you put God. God beside your health, God beside your marriage, God beside your finances, God beside your parenting, God beside your career, God beside your, on and on and on. And here's the question for you. If you kept these things but lost God, which one makes you feel safe? Which one makes you feel okay? And I'll explain. If you kept your health but lost God, God went away out of your life. You feel like you'll be okay without Him? Because you have your health? If you kept your finances but lost God, would you feel like, hey, at least I've got my money in the bank, I'll be okay without God? If you kept your marriage but you lost God, and that's a tough one because there's nothing wrong with any of these things, right? But if God is not who you're anchored in, and these things are, this shows you are set up for an identity crisis. It's not a matter of if, but when. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to show you the other option, the other opportunity. It's time to get off the roller coaster. The one who presents the option, the opportunity, is Jesus. Jesus. A little shy of 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth was walking around. He was teaching in Israel, in the Jerusalem area, and all around that area. And Jesus, at this point in his ministry, he had large crowds gathering because he was healing people, performing miracles. He was speaking with wisdom that no one had ever heard before. He was talking about God in heaven as being his dad. And this was such a level of intimacy that people were freaked out about. All the other rabbis, all the other teachers never spoke of God in this way. And Jesus of Nazareth has been preaching, and all these people are around him. And after they had listened to him preach and listened to him teach, at the end of one of his messages in Matthew chapter 11, this is one of the places we're going to look, verse 28, Jesus looks into the crowd, and here's what he says, the very first phrase. Come to me. Come to me. Now, guys, I want you just to act like, imagine with me, use your imaginations. As if you're one of those individuals, you're a guy or a girl standing in the crowd. This guy has been doing all kinds of crazy, amazing things. He's talking about God. He's explaining God in ways you never heard. There's something stirring inside of your soul. Things are happening. You don't know how to explain it. And then all of a sudden, Jesus just takes him a big old swig of wine, and he looks at you, and he says, come to me. Jesus was saying to them, guys, this is about me, you, and myself. Now watch what he continues with. Come to me, all, whoever, who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what's interesting is a lot of times when we look at Scripture, we think, well, those people, man, they didn't get what it is to be an American. They didn't get back then, 2,000 years ago, or even past that, what it feels like to be someone in the 21st century. And I'll agree with you. They didn't understand an iPod Touch. They didn't have iPads. They didn't have a lot of technology we have today. But here's what they had. They had a soul like you do. They had a soul that was born with an inward need and a desire to be loved unconditionally, accepted unconditionally, to have security, to live a life of significance and purpose. You agree with that? That's where they were. You see, a lot has changed over time, but there's a whole lot that's still the same. And Jesus looks into these individuals' eyes and he says, come to me. All of you who are laboring, carrying something, and are heavy laden. That phrase there really means burdened by what you're carrying. Worn out, tired, feel like the if you will, the gerbil, the rat, whatever, running on the wheel. Come to me. And then what's the promise he makes them? I'll give you something. What? Rest. He said, I'll give you rest. You're worn out. You're tired. You're here on the roller coaster. The bottom's dropped out. You keep doing this cycle. You keep hitting repeat. You keep anchoring all these other types of things. You're trying to find yourself. You're trying to find your identity. Jesus says, you'll find it in me. Come to me. Anchor your life, your identity, your everything in me. And he says, and I will give you rest. Now this is pretty powerful. And if you're not with me yet, if you're kind of skeptical of what I'm saying, this next verse that he gets into, he really, really breaks down what I'm, if you will, using the metaphor for a roller coaster in describing why we feel this way, what's going on with us. And look with me in verse 29. Here's what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus looks at him and says, okay, here's the deal. You are yoked to something. In essence, he's saying you are anchored to someone or something for your identity and for who you are, right? And every one of us here in the room this morning, you are anchored to different things, different people, different relationships for your identity. And Jesus said, you're yoked to that. Yoke with me. In essence, you have made the decision, and the yoke, of course, that he's talking about here is not the egg yolk, okay? He's talking about this wooden beam that we've all seen that hook on cattle. And you have two of them and they're locked together and they're pulling something heavy. He says, you are currently yoked to your job for your identity. You are currently yoked to some person for your identity. You are currently yoked for you, to your health, to your looks or something that tries to help you make you feel of value and of worth and loved and accepted. He says, de-hook and yoke to me. And then he explains why. Same verse. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus is saying this, and I love this about him. Whenever you see in the Gospels Jesus interacting with people right where they were, broken, messed up, bruised, tired, all those types of things, Jesus never said, clean yourself up first and then come talk to me and we'll see if we can work something out. Did he? Jesus looked at people and said, I'm here for you right now. I understand you're broken. I understand you're weary. You're heavy laden. You're tired. I understand the roller coaster thing. I understand what you need. I understand what you're looking for. And here's the deal. Jesus says, I am gentle. I am lowly in heart. In essence, Jesus is saying, I get you. I understand you. I'm here for you. And then look at this promise. He even adds a little bit to it. And I will give you, you will find rest for your souls. What a claim, guys. This man, this rabbi, this carpenter's boy, who was teaching, performing miracles, doing all these things, gathering crowds, makes this invitation, makes this offer to people, and then he makes a great, crazy claim where he says, I'll give you rest for the soul. No one in their right mind would ever make that claim unless they were saying, I am divine. Because I can tell you this, I may be able to help you rest in certain areas in your life, right? I can cut your grass for you and let you take a Saturday off and get a little rest, right? I can do things like that. But if anyone ever tells you or makes a claim, I can make you rest where you are in the soul. I can make you rest from all those different issues, all the turmoil, all the stuff that you're dealing with. That is someone who's saying, I am God. Jesus is laying this out. He is saying to them, it's time to get off the roller coaster. Anchor your life, your identity, all that you are, all that you will ever be, your hopes, your dreams, your past, your successes, your failures, your everything. Anchor it in me. And he said, and I will ultimately meet every need that you have been born with, and I will satisfy it completely. That's Jesus' offer. Jesus is saying, find your identity in me. And then he finishes up, verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, I love is that Jesus is saying, when we really think about this practically, the way this would look, and again, using our imaginations as if we're in the crowd listening to Jesus say this, is Jesus is saying, hey, come and let me walk side by side with you through life. Let me teach you as you go through the roller coasters of life. You know, the interesting thing is that Jesus never promised that he would take out the hills, the highs and the drops. He never said that. Jesus said, I'll be with you through it. I will teach you through it. I will be gentle and I'll be lowly in heart, humble in heart to help you through it. I will do all the heavy lifting is what he's saying. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is saying, when things get tough, you're with me, you come to me, I'll carry the weight. I'll take care of it. And as we go through the challenges, as we lose our health, because it will happen, as we lose loved ones, it will happen. As we lose relationships, as we lose jobs, as we lose our looks, as we lose these things, Jesus is saying this, that need you'll never lose. And me, you will never lose. And if you find your identity in me, if you anchor your life in me, if I am your all, you will never lose your sense of who you are either as you go through these things. In essence, you will not have an identity crisis. That as everything's just fluctuating and changing and going crazy around you, your life, your identity is anchored in the unchanging God who creates you and loves you more than you'll ever know. You know, as I have experienced this myself, and as I have met with and discussed this with others, what I have found is that there is a common lie that a lot of us believe. And a lot of us do believe that we can anchor our identity in other things, knowledge, health, all these types of things. And if we can get those things where we want them, then we'll be okay. We'll be secure. We'll be safe. We'll have a life of significance and all these things. But it's interesting that Jesus even answered this lie. Another occasion, he was teaching in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I just want to show this to you because he's really stating the same thing in a different way. Here's what he said. He said to all, if any of you would come after me, or again, this is just like what we looked at, here's what you need to do. You need to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Jesus says, I become leader of your life. You are to find your identity in me if you want to come to me, if you want to follow me. Watch, verse 24. For whoever would try to save his life will lose it. Those of us that try to hold on to our lives, anchor our lives in things that are about us and building us up and our progress and what we can hold on to, what we can gain and all this, he says, you will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, and that does not necessarily mean physical death. That meant that, hey, I'm yours, God. I'm all yours. I'm anchoring my identity in you. We'll save it. Verse 25. This question is awesome. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, or if you anchor yourself to everything and you hit mountain peaks in every area of your life, your finances, your relationships, all these things? If you gain the whole world, but you lose or you forfeit himself. Another translation says, you lose or forfeit your soul. You see, your soul, your heart was created for God. And there is no one or nothing else in this world that our God created that will satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. There is no one or nothing that will love you unconditionally the way Jesus loves you. He's already shown that through the cross for you. There is no one or nothing that would give you the security, the stability, when all hell breaks loose in your life like Jesus will. There is no one or nothing that will make you feel like your life is of value and significant like Jesus, because it's not based upon your performance with Jesus. It's based upon his love and his grace for you. When you suck at something, he still loves you. When you succeed, he doesn't love you anymore. Jesus just loves you. And your heart was created for that. And until we start anchoring our lives and our identity and our all in him, you can gain the whole world and you will lose yourself. You will lose your soul. it will never work. It's like taking a toy where you have a round hole and you have a square peg and you're trying your darndest to try to just get that thing to work. It will not work. It won't work. So Jesus' invitation is that. So here's my hope for all of you this morning, for all of us. I really, really, really long and desire for all of us today to anchor our entire value and worth and identity in God and how He sees you and what He says about you and how He feels toward you, and not in other people and in your performance or in what you have. Because I know from my own life of trying it the other way too, as I'm sure many of you could express as well, that is not truly living life until you anchor everything in Jesus and who He is and what He says about you and how He loves you and how He offers everything for you. That's my heart for all of us this morning. So here's where some of you are this morning. Some of you are right in the middle of an identity crisis. You know you have anchored yourself to something that right now is tanking or is very, very unstable. And you are struggling bad. You really are. And you're worn out and you're tired. Jesus looks to you and He says, come to me. Give it to me. I'll give you rest where you're hurting most. You're not hurting in your pocketbook as much as you're hurting in your heart. You're not hurting when you look in the mirror as far as physically as much as you're hurting in your heart. Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you rest for that. I'll give you a peace for that. I'll give you love. And so you need to do that. You need to take whatever it is and give it to Him. Say, here's my life. Follow me. Some of you here this morning, you are set up for a major identity crisis. And I have been through a few myself. And I think this is so subtle. It's kind of scary because I think even I could be, or even right now, set up for one myself. So we all need to look in our own hearts. But we need to ask ourselves, truly, God, if I took you out of this, but I still had this, would I feel better than if I lost that and had you? If so, I'm set up for an identity crisis. And you need to take that to God and get that right. But there are some of you this morning that you have never, ever, ever anchored your identity in Jesus. You have never given your life, surrendered your life to Jesus. You have never had your relationship with your Heavenly Father, your Creator, made right through Him, through what Jesus did for you. You've never trusted fully in Jesus. You've never seen your greatest need in Him. And guys, this morning, that can change for you. Right where you're at, in your own heart, in your own way, you can express, I need you. I need you. And that can change for you today. Others of you this morning, you know that you have anchored your life in a relationship with God through Christ. It may have been weeks ago, months ago, years ago, decades ago. But you know that daily you battle with it, trying to anchor yourself, your identity, and other things. You know that as I was expressing some of these things, that's you. That's what you're struggling with. And what I want to encourage you with is every day, you need to get alone with God before you really start your day and make sure that you take your heart to Jesus and you say, here's everything. Here's my job. Here's my marriage. Here's my finances. Here are these projects. Here are these demands. Here's my stress. Here's all of it. I give it to you. I'm relying on you. I want you to be my leader and my all. And that's a daily thing because it's so, so, so easy to anchor your life in other things and in other people. Do y'all hear my heart in this morning? I really, really, really desire that for you, that as you go through life, that you will have a confidence, a boldness, a peace, and a joy that your God says, you're my son, you're my daughter. And you look to Him and you say, you're my dad, and I love you. No matter what's going on in life, that's my heart for you. That's God's heart for you.